Good and bad things have happened to music with the invention of headphones more than 100 years ago. Headphones are in many ways ideal. The sonic space and stereo separation are completely controlled. Listeners are in command of their environment. They can have whatever music they want at any time or place without bothering anyone. More importantly, no one bothers the listener either. Sonic privacy and solitude could be the ultimate modern luxury. But with the new ubiquity of personal listening, I'm starting to notice the downsides. It's not a very real experience. Headphones sound tinny, the stereo field is exaggerated, the music seems too close. The acoustics of your environment are made obsolete. It's a little weird to hear concert hall reverberation while sitting in a small room. Pop music now has to be engineered for listening on cheap headphones while roller skating in heavy traffic. It's more in your face. The bass is boosted, the dynamic range is squashed. More importantly, though, headphones are causing a cultural shift. Listening is now a solitary experience. Like the lawns separating suburban homes, our personal sonic bubbles make social interaction difficult. All the qualities that critics can ascribe to society, isolation, detachment, narcissism, rudeness, can be amplified along with the music. If being with other people at a live concert is the ultimate listening experience, then music on headphones is the opposite. For KMUW, I'm Mark Foley.
And this is Musical Space. I'm Fletcher Powell here, as always, with Mark Foley. Hey there, Mark.
Glad to be here, Fletcher.
And if you're listening to us right now and you're not listening on headphones, you might think about putting some on, because Mark's brought along a listening list that kind of takes advantage of what headphones are able to do.
Right. Yeah. I was kind of a Debbie Downer putting down headphones. That argument, the anti-headphone argument, has been around since the Walkman, you know, over 30 years now, right? But you know, be that as it may, we are in a headphone society now, and music throughout the ages has been using stereo separation for fun and profit. And so let's delve in.
Well, talk a little bit about the piece that we heard during your essay a moment ago, the Thom Yorke piece.
Yeah, it's a really interesting piece. I like it because it kind of addresses social isolation, which is the problem with headphones. And, you know, so I just kind of Googled that music with you know, social isolation, and came up with this beautiful Flying Lotus piece that features Thom Yorke, the lead singer of Radiohead. So I'm a sucker for both those guys. And just started picking out the different instrumental parts in the piece and how widely spread they are. Yeah, and yes, I was listening to them on a headphone, so it really popped out.
Well, let's take a look at what you've brought us today. You say that a lot of this music uses stereo separation.
Yeah. So, this is a symphony I've only gotten to play once. It's by a Danish composer, Carl Nielsen. It's his Symphony No. 4, written during World War I in 1916. The fourth movement has this battle going on between two timpani players who are on opposite sides of the stage. I'm making an opposite side gesture here with my hands.
Good radio.
Yeah, right. This is the fourth movement, which is really fun to play. This performance is by the Berlin Philharmonic with Simon Rattle.
Thank you.
Let's move along to, honestly, one of the first things I thought of when I saw that you were bringing along a list using stereo separation. It's the Beatles with Tomorrow Never Knows.
Right, yeah, the Beatles, they were the original electronic experimentalists, you know, in rock world. And even though a lot of their original stuff was originally in mono, this was around the time they're really playing with stereo and having fun with it. This is from the album Revolver in 1966. The tune Tomorrow Never Knows uses all these tape loops that are built on each other, which is one reason why it's one of my all-time favorite Beatles tunes. But there's a lot of hard panning, left and right, center. You'll hear it right away if you're wearing headphones.
Another group I'm not surprised to see on here is Pink Floyd.
Yeah, these guys, they like to experiment too. This is from the next year, 1967. Interstellar Overdrive from the album Piper at the Gates of Dawn. The bass is on the right side and the guitar is on the left. If you have your headphones on correctly, you got to make sure the L and the R are doing the right things on your ears.
Strangely enough, the next group you have on here, Jackson 5, I actually was listening to this song just a little while ago through headphones, and I noticed this stereo separation that I didn't expect to hear.
Yeah, the Motown engineers only had this kind of rudimentary mixing board that didn't have a pan pot, which is what they call it now. Pan is short for panoramic, and they had this rudimentary thing where you could flick the sound to go to the right or to the left or keep it in the center. And you could tell they had a lot of fun with this. And so I had a really good time just listening to the different parts. So here we go. We've got the drum kit on the left, congas and tambourine on the right, piano on the right, strings on the right. There are different guitar parts. They're panned hard left and right. And the bass and the lead vocals are in the center. I Want You Back is one of their all-time great tunes from 1969.
Thank you.
We heard a number of groups already that do a lot of experimentation with music and with how it's produced, the Beatles and Pink Floyd. You've got Flaming Lips on here too, of course.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we skipped all the 80s and 70s music. Because, I don't know, I think engineering back then got a little more staid, a little less experimental. But Flaming Lips are such iconoclasts. Right at the beginning of this tune, Feeling Yourself Disintegrate from the album The Soft Bulletin in 1999, the vocals are kind of imitating a snare drum at the beginning, and they're panned all crazy, as they will do. White Stripes, I think, are the saviors of guitar-oriented retro rock. they're doing it like a retro spin on this ping pong idea. This is a tune called Take, Take, Take on the Get Behind Me, Satan album from 2005. And they call this ping pong echo, where you'll get a sound in one ear and it'll ping pong to the other side. Real fun effect. I hope you enjoy it. I was shocked to look up and see Rita Hayworth there in a place so seated. She walked into the bar with a long red curly hair, and that was all that I needed.
Sort of coming full circle, since we heard from at least Tom York along with Flying Lotus earlier on. Now we're going to hear from Radiohead.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands. I'm just always looking for an excuse to throw these guys in. They do such great things with sound. In 2007, the album In Rainbows came out. This tune, Reckoner, has a lot of hard panning, which you don't really hear that much of anymore. There's a right at the beginning, this really amazing shaker sound in the left side, and one of the most amazing ride cymbal sounds I've ever heard in the right.
And if I'm not mistaken, was In Rainbows the album that they put out and said you can pay whatever you want for it?
Yeah, basically for free. Yeah, it was them thumbing their nose at the record industry. You know, it's kind of sad, but they figured out, well, wait, the record industry does have the CD distribution that we don't have. So they ended up signing with a label not too long after that. But it was a beautiful experiment and one of my favorite albums of all time.
we'll leave you with Radiohead there. Keep your headphones on through the rest of the song. And as always, Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fletcher.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.